Call this meeting to order. This is a work session of the mayor and council of the city of Bisbee, county of Cochise, state of Arizona, to be held on Tuesday, March 6, 2018, at 5:01 p.m. in the Cochise County Board of Supervisors hearing room, 1415 Melody Lane, Building G, is in George, Bisbee, Arizona. We all okay over here?
We're plugged in. We don't have to share any mics, so I guess we're okay.
That's right. A council that doesn't share is not a good thing. Ms. Coronado, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Anna Klein is excused. Councilmember Joan Hansen?
Here.
Councilmember Frank Davis?
Here.
Mayor David M. Smith?
Here.
Councilmember Bill Higgins?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Douglas?
Here.
Councilmember Gabe Lindstrom is excused. City staff, Robert Smith. City manager, Ashley Coronado. City clerk, Britt Hansen, city attorney.
Thank you, ma'am. We have one item of business, and that's discussion and direction regarding changes to the city animal code, including the addition of provisions regarding feral cats. I have several people signed up. Is there anyone else that wants to sign up to speak? I'll recognize you when the time comes, sir. You're welcome. And this has come about from many different sources. In going back and researching some of this, we have found that our own city codes didn't always agree with the state codes, and that they needed to be brought into compliance with those state codes. And so some of these proposed changes have to do with that. We also have issues that have come up in different areas of Bisbee in reference to feral cat populations. I believe that they're typically identified as colonies, and that the last I knew, we have about 12 different colonies of feral cats throughout Bisbee. This is not a Ward 1 issue. This is a Bisbee issue, of which Ward 1 is certainly one of the areas. And so with that, I've been in contact with the city attorney, Mr. Hansen. Friends of the Bisbee Animal Shelter have been asked for assistance, because they're the ones that actually are the receivers of these animals. And pursuant to the statute and our agreement with them, we'll continue in the future to be involved in the administration and receiving of animals through the city animal code. So with that, I want to indicate to anybody in the audience that this is an important issue, and so I want everybody to be able to speak should they wish to. And so as we're going, if you wish to be heard, simply raise your hand so that I can recognize you. You'll need to come up here to the podium to be recognized, to actually speak, and I'll give you the reasonable length of time, which typically 3 minutes is certainly enough time to get your point across. So with that, is there anybody that wishes to speak a la like a call to the public before we get going on this issue, before I turn it over to the city attorney? Anybody that wishes to speak now? All right. Mr. Hansen?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. When the issue of feral cats came up a couple of months ago, I was asked to look at the city code and the animal code and see what we might be able to do. As I was going through the code, I realized it was pretty evident that our animal code is way, 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 way out of date. It is inconsistent with state statute and in many areas. It's also could really stand to be reorganized so it's more readable. Also, practices have changed over time and how we deal with animals that are inconsistent with the way it's written in the code. So I've put together a draft on that and getting pretty close to having a red line draft to circulate to the council so you can actually review it and see. Most of the changes won't be or shouldn't be controversial because they're really just, as I say, bringing our code up to date. On the feral cat issue, Kelly Galligan, one of my paralegals, and then me looked at some different ways to address the feral cat issues. Everybody recognizes, I think, that it's a quality of life issue and maybe even a public health issue, given the degrees of concentration of feral cats in some areas. And what we were able to come up with, at least as a conceptual approach, would be adding to the code something called a colony caregiver program. Colony caregiver program has been implemented in many, many parts of the country, and I think even one out in the county a few years ago when we revised the county's animal code for the same reason we're here tonight. One of the humane organizations asked us to put into the county ordinance provisions for the colony caregiver program, which basically works like this. The ultimate end goal is to humanely treat the feral cats, but at the same time get them spayed and neutered so that they can't reproduce, and eventually over time reduce the population because hopefully you get enough spayed and neutered that it can't they just can't procreate fast enough to keep up with the decline in the population, and at the same time those cats that are feral cats that are spayed and neutered, somebody takes responsibility for care and feeding of those cats and also trapping them to get them to the shelter so they can be spayed and neutered. And the colony caregiver program in most places recognizes that cities or counties don't have the amount of resources or the ability to be everywhere where the feral cats are. So what it does is it gives residents of the community who are interested in the program, who think it's a worthy thing to do, the opportunity to sign up as a caregiver, taking responsibility for caring and feeding them, and also to make sure they get trapped and spayed and neutered through the shelter. And I think from talking to the mayor and to the Friends of the Animal Shelter, there probably are a number of volunteers, people in the city willing to volunteer to take on that responsibility. Another part of it, though, is you need to be sure that the caregivers are doing what they're supposed to do. And so under the Colony Caregiver Program, typically there is one organization that's given the responsibility for being what's called a sponsor of the caregiver program. And here, naturally, that would be the Friends of the Animal Shelter. And the sponsor has people sign up to be the caregivers, the sponsor gives them instructions on how to go about doing this, and makes sure that they keep following up, that they're given the traps when they need the traps, and that they don't trap at the wrong time. For example, if you were going to trap a cat on a Friday afternoon, knowing they couldn't be taken anywhere for a couple of days, that would be harmful to the cat. That wouldn't be humane. So you need to make sure that the people that are trapping the cats are trapping them and very quickly checking them and then bringing them to the shelter so they could be then spayed and neutered. That basically are the outlines of the program. There's a couple of different models around the country to follow, and there's a couple different ways of going about it. One would be to do what they've done in the larger jurisdictions, whereas they put the whole colony caregiver program in the code itself. The other way of going about it is the way we did it at the county, which is we authorized the colony caregiver program and then gave the sponsor kind of the latitude to set the rules. That way, if things change, you don't have to come to the council and go through two readings and another ordinance to change a simple practice. And given that we haven't tried the colony caregiver program in Bisbee before, I'm going to guess we have it all laid out nicely on paper, and within about a month we'll realize that, geez, we probably need to do this a little bit differently than we're doing. So it would be my recommendation to go that way, go that route. Anyway, that's kind of the outlines of what we're looking at. Part of it is putting it in the code and getting it authorized. The other part, though, frankly, is having the resources to follow up and do it. And that's going to be a bigger challenge than writing the change to the code itself, I think. With that, I would entertain any questions.
Thank you. I have a couple for clarification. The state presently says that an animal taken into custody will be spayed or neutered. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Right.
Before being released.
Before being released. Right. Right. And we are discussing rabies vaccinations for all animals when they're picked up. And I wanted to bring this up because it's confirmed as of today that a fox that was picked up in Brewery Gulch a couple of weeks ago was in daylight chasing a human, was in fact rabies, rabid. And a press release is being drafted and will be released tomorrow about that to the citizens in Bisbee. But it is extremely important that our animals be vaccinated against rabies, and that's a demonstration as to the importance of that. And so we had talked, Mr. Hansen, and Ms. Galligan, we had talked about the requirement of rabies vaccination being in here as well as spay or neutered, correct?
Correct.
And we had also talked, and this was a point that I was pressing, I do realize, but we had also talked about microchipping both dogs and cats when they come into the shelter and are released. The reason for microchipping, as far as I was concerned, is that if the shelter, if first of all, the owner demonstrates that the animal's microchipped, then that's fine, and that would typically indicate that it's registered. And if the shelter microchips an animal at the time it's released to a person, then the shelter can take it upon themselves to go into the and make sure that it's registered. So the point is that we have an owner of that animal, so that if a cat, as an example, is picked up and it's swept and it's found to have a chip, we know who that owner is to contact them and say, we've got your cat. And likewise, we know that we wouldn't be releasing someone else's animal to another party because that chip doesn't fit with that person. Does that make sense? Now, as I understand, we're talking about fees and so forth in this also down the road, but that microchip, I believe, is $4.95, so it's $5, which would be added to the, if you'll pardon the expression, the impound fee for the animal and the redemption fee. Okay, so I did want to bring that up. I feel it personally that it's a real important that we microchip these animals also, because it provides this positive identification, or as close as we're going to get the positive identification of these animals.
So how would you identify get a feral cat in there? Uh-huh.
Well, the person, the first time around, they're going to have some type of proof that that's their animal.
If they're trapping a feral cat, it's not their animal, it's just a feral cat.
Well, it depends. Some might state that that's their animal.
Yeah. The feral cats would not actually be owned by any individual. They'd be managed by the colony caregiver.
Right.
And they'd be identified, the ones that had already been spayed and neutered and chipped would also, I think it's an ear notch.
It is.
So when trapping, you make sure you're not taking the already spayed and neutered cat back to the shelter.
Or if you're taken to the shelter, we know that they're spayed and neutered.
Yeah.
Because of they're clipped. So questions at this point?
We are then releasing the cat, or are we holding it at the animal shelter for adoption?
Well, I guess it could go either way, but given that they're feral cats, and Kelly, please correct me if I'm wrong, I think the general rule would be after they've been spayed and neutered and chipped and notched, they'd be returned to where they came from, to the colony. And I suppose it would be possible that some people could adopt the feral cats. Pardon?
We'll give you your turn, Mr. Staley, in just a minute.
Yeah, but the main gist of the program would be to return them to the colony.
Yeah, typically they're returned to the colony, but the point is that if somebody traps them in their yard, they don't want them there. They have the right to trap them and to bring them to the shelter.
And the cost then of treatment would be come from the city budget?
No. The city isn't paying any money on this. The cost of treatment is the friends are going to basically be putting speaking out what we've discussed, it's not on paper. The friends will be paying for the spay and neuter, and they will be recouping that from the individual that picks up that cat. If it's a feral cat, then and nobody picks it up, it's going to be released back to the colony, and the friends have absorbed that cost. Yes, sir. But as far as the city will not be expending funds. The funds that the city will be expending is on the animal control officer. And what we are proposing also is on the trapping is that the city is going to buy 10 traps, and the Friends of the Bisbee Animal Shelter are buying 10 traps. And somebody that wants to trap a feral cat in their property can come and check out a trap and bring it back containing the feral cat and drop it off. Mr. Conners, sir.
I'm Gene Conners. I live at 506B Brophy, and I spoke at the Royale, maybe a little emotionally, but I like what I hear. And Mr. Hansen said, I think when he started, he said something about, you know, we've come to our attention, or we've been working on this for a couple of months now, and this has been going on for years. And Chief Achave's in the back, and you know it's probably 2 or 3 years ago when he and I had a very emotional talk down on Brophy in front of Mr. Staley. I like a lot of what I hear. And I'm going to just throw out some questions, and I'm not going to stand up here and wait for answers or have a dialogue so much unless it happens that way. But, you know, what's to keep a person, just waiting for you to bring the cat back to the neighborhood and drop it off, and, you know, and that person, you know, doesn't pay, the spay and neuter, because you just said in a public work session that if nobody comes to claim the cat after the money has been invested in the rabies and the shots and neutering and clipping and that microchip, that you'll bring it back to the area which it was, you know, captured. You know, to me that's unless a person comes and says that's my cat and, you know, here's the money, mm-hmm. This is what I owe you for doing, you know, what ostensibly I should have been doing myself. Boy, I really wish that you guys wouldn't bring the cats back to the neighborhood. There's enough.
Where would they go? That's the big question. I mean...
Well, but you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, and let me...
If a person knows that if he just doesn't go to the pound or to the friends of the... And say, that's my cat, and I'm happy to pay that fee, I want that cat back, he knows that he's going to get that cat back eventually, or he or she.
That's and I'm not arguing, I'm trying to... that obviously is one aspect of it. But what we're looking at is a long-term solution.
I understand.
And the fact, well, when we spay and neuter these animals, Mr. Connors, that animal comes back, but not all the kittens and the puppies that would normally follow that animal to perpetuate this problem into eternity.
Okay.
And that provides not instant relief for you, but it provides a longer-term relief for you when statistically that feral cat has a lifespan of 2 years. So I understand your point exactly, but I'm trying to look at a longer-term solution and taking away, if that animal is spay or neutered, then we have hundreds of cats in the near future that will not be at that same colony.
Yeah. And also, part of the colony caregiver,
mm-hmm.
do the people have to perform all of those? Do we have to feed it, and can we just catch it and bring it to the city to have it fixed, and then when it's not claimed, you know, you bring it back, and then, you know, it's going to be back in our yards, and, you know, it won't be having kittens in my basement anymore, but it will still be going to the bathroom in my yard, and it'll still be, you know, chasing the birds in the bird feeder in my yard. So every time it rains, it reeks terribly of cat urine walking up the concrete stairs to my house, which we're thinking about selling because my daughter's going to be moving to Tucson, and, you know, that's going to be the very first impression somebody walking up the staircase to my house gets is a nose full of that cat urine. And it's, you know, I understand, and I understand the starting the end of the circle mm-hmm. of birth on Brophy.
Let me just put it out there and be absolutely blunt. There's about three approaches. One is one that we're doing now. Second is a colony caregiver program. And the alternative is eradication. And if that's the will of the community, we can go that route. But I kind of started off with the assumption that people didn't want to go that route. But that's one of the reasons we're having a conversation. If people want to propose that.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I think that the... You know, if there's, you know, a particular person who's kind of the locus of this problem, maybe a couple of tons of sand in that person's backyard, and then he can clean, you know, that sandbox instead of us cleaning it. I mean, there's more things that can be done and suggested, because you did kind of allude to a little bit of a health, you know, help a little bit. There is a health problem in our, you know, in our street. You know, our cat goes out for 10 minutes in the morning, and then is back in the house because my wife is, you know, petrified that it's going to get sick. And it's not a 2-year-old dead cat; it's a 12-year-old cat that, you know, goes to the vet a couple times a year and, you know, is groomed and, you know, maintained. And
mm-hmm.
we have vet bills to prove that we.
Right. You're. We do understand your concerns, and we're attempting to solve the problem, but short of eradication, I don't know how else this problem gets solved. Now, other jurisdictions just do that. We're one of the few in Cochise County that, you know, is taking it on this way. Other jurisdictions just eradicate them.
All right. Thanks for giving me the time, guys.
Absolutely, sir. Thank you. Anybody else wish to speak right now? Mr. Staley.
Well, I guess, you know...
Speak into the mic, sir.
I hope this is not too simple of a question, but what is it that attracts cats?
Well, apparently it's not too simple of a question because I don't know the answer.
The answer is bait. The answer is food. What do you put in traps?
Well, I'm sorry. We're not going to play 50.
Okay,
you know,
let me just say
that. What can I do to help you?
I'm just trying to make it clear that trapping the animals, trapping is what attracts and concentrates the animals. That is the problem. Trapping is the problem. The trapping needs to be stopped. The cat population would correct itself at that point. If you want to know why there's an influx of cats, particularly in my neighborhood, it's very simple. It's the trapping that's been going on there for the last 3 years, spearheaded by Miss Galligan. That is the problem. The trapping is attracting wild animals, attracting foxes, attracting skunks, attracting your cat, your mom's cat, my cat, Mr. Connor's cat, attracting them into the traps. And it's all done for financial gain. And actually, this activity is one component of a common scam that is used in a lot of big cities by supposed nonprofit organizations. In most very large cities, it happens. And I never thought it would happen here.
Speak into the mic.
I never thought it would happen here. And let me just kind of briefly tell you how it works in most big cities. And it's a common practice. And for some reason, nobody in this area realizes that. You acquire a building suitable to hold these animals. You then, over a period of time, begin to bait animals into your neighborhood without concern about whose animal is being trapped. Could be Johnny's cat from down the block. Could be a cat from 5 miles up the canyon. That's how far an animal would travel for the bait. That's the problem. It could be yours or mine or Johnny's or Gene's. And it all comes down to dollar signs for the unethical animal entrepreneur. Number three of this scam is you create hysteria about the animal influx, although the trapping is what you depend on to make large sums of money. Oftentimes, they find a person in the hood to blame for any problems as they keep on attracting the animals day and night, every single day. Foxes, skunks, rabid animals are attracted, concentrated in that area. Johnny's cat is concentrated in that area. Trapping is not the answer. These animals are used as commodities to make money. When there is grant money that is allocated for spaying, a small portion is paid to a discount vet, and the rest is pocketed by the animal entrepreneur. That is what's driving this trapping and concentrating of these animals. It's wrong, it's not right, and I believe it's against the law.
Okay. Is there anything new? You're repeating yourself.
I'm sorry. I'm not used to speaking, but I'm trying to do my best.
Surely.
Because it's important. When grant money is not available, persons are charged upfront for services when they should not be. I believe that the charities in this area are being scammed. It's unethical, if not illegal, to run this scam on unsuspecting people in my neighborhood, in your neighborhood. Changing the ordinances is a very sly and manipulative way to further disrespect the citizens of Bisbee. I can tell you exactly what drives this illegal activity. It's just a few words. It's contained in the city contract with the Friends of the Animal Shelter. Page 2, paragraph 9, lines 4 and 5. Friends is entitled to collect and retain any adoption, impoundment, and any other fees paid directly to them. That is what's driving this. We never had a problem on my street until the trapping became apparent, obviously done to create financial gain. On top of this large bounty, the city pays thousands of dollars, and we all know the financial state of this city, pays thousands of dollars to the Friends of the Animal Shelter to run the animal shelter. This animal shelter is not for the citizens of Bisbee, it's for the Friends to make money. I believe that we're all being scammed and disrespected in a time of financial difficulty.
You finished?
Just almost, sir. In closing, do not change the ordinances at the request of the scammer. Stop the relentless trapping that has ruined my neighborhood for financial gain. When the baiting and the trapping stop, the animal population will correct itself. Everything will be fine, just as it was before the Friends of the Bisbee Animal Shelter. Thank you very much.
Okay, let me ask you a couple questions while you're there. Do you have any cats?
Yes, sir.
How many?
Five.
Five cats?
Yes, sir.
Are they inside cats?
Mostly.
Okay. Do you feed outside cats?
No, I feed my cats. Now, there are some cats that do come around, but I pick up the food immediately after they eat, which is exactly what is not done when trapping animals. Trapping animals is done to attract the animals. Doesn't matter if they're rabid, doesn't matter if it's Johnny's cat.
Yeah, I get that. Okay, and do your cats have rabies shots?
Yes.
And are they...
And you know, I'm not here to be interrogated. I'm just trying to speak my mind, and I appreciate this, and I'm glad you came to my house today to tell me about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate that, because I never would have known about it, and I'm not really prepared, but I'd like to be more prepared and planning to be. I know that there are state laws now, new state laws protecting feral cats that I want to look into, and the county city attorney may know about those laws. There was a new law, SB 198, passed just recently to protect feral cats. I want to look into that. I want you all to know about those new laws before you vote, before you enact ordinances that will put the squeeze on Bisbee citizens more than they're already being squeezed.
So, without interrogating you, sir,
sure.
If you have five cats of your own, then any of the feral cats that come around, you have no reason to be opposed to them being spayed
or
neutered.
Sure, because the trapping is cruel. It's cruel.
That's not what I asked. I said you have no opposition to them being spayed or neutered.
No, as a matter of fact, spaying and neutering is a fantastic idea if it's done with accountability. There is no accountability, from Friends. You cannot get the records of what happens to these cats. They're taken from people, they're used to make money, and there are no records available about what happens to these cats.
I realize that that's your opinion.
That's true. I went today to get the records. There are no records.
You went today, sir.
Yes, sir. And I've been going over the last 2 years.
I'm not going to argue with you, but you provided a public records request today.
Yes, sir.
And your public records request will be filled, but that may take weeks and not minutes.
Well, sir, those records from 2 years ago should be available now. Immediately.
The records are not available at the snap of your fingers, sir.
Sir, I want to apologize. I'm getting a little emotional here, and I want it not to be that way.
Okay, well, you're welcome to take your seat.
I just wanted to explain that there's an ulterior motive here, and that trapping is not the answer.
I totally understand your position, and you're being repetitive.
Thank you, sir.
Ms. Galligan, did you wish to speak?
So I just wanted to note that eradication actually isn't an effective method for dealing with feral cats anyway. It's more cats just move in and you can't stay on top of it. So this colony caregiver program is the most humane and the most effective solution that we could find. It's where everyone in the country is moving toward. And I just want to clear up a couple of misunderstandings. Number one is that Friends will pay all the fees for spaying, neutering, microchipping, and vaccinating. Between grant money, the store that we've opened on Main Street, we've got enough money that we can cover that, and donations, obviously. We can cover all the fees for the feral cats. Part of the contract with the caregiver stipulates that kittens, when they see kittens are born, they have to be they have to be removed from the colony, trapped and removed. Any sick animals that are seen have to make an effort to trap them and remove them, get them to a vet. So the kittens will be socialized and adopted out from the shelter, because kittens, you know, go from feral to tame in 2 days. That's not a problem. And the sick cats, you know, we need to get them care and then return them to the colony, basically, and we'll cover the cost of that too. Ultimately, the recourse is that if the colony caregiver, if the person who says, I'm willing to take care of these cats and feed them and manage this colony, if they're not doing that, the recourse is that the animal control officer is called in to trap and remove the cats, which is a last resort. But that's those are just a few things that I just wanted to...
Can I interrogate you a minute?
Yeah.
Okay. Again, this is not a an issue that we've come together just about Brophy.
That's right.
This is an issue, as I indicated, we have 12 colonies, I believe, that have been identified. Mm-hmm. Black Knob in Warren is another area, another problem area.
Cochise Row, Quality.
Cochise Row, yeah. So, but let me, because you're on the Brophy situation, and mm-hmm. And there's obvious animosity, and I obviously don't want it carried out those doors. Mm-hmm. But how many feral cats do you estimate is in the Brophy colony?
I would guess at least 25.
25?
That's my guess.
Yeah. Now, I receive a lot of phone calls from all over the place about this particular issue. Mm-hmm. But as I recall, I've received some phone calls indicating that I think it was just last week there were 4 dead cats found on Brophy.
Mm-hmm.
And these were feral cats?
Yes, as far as we know. I mean, nobody was looking for cats. Mm-hmm.
So do you know, do we have a illness that's mm-hmm. going through the colony and on the Brophy situation?
It's hard to say. I picked up a kitten last summer, I guess, that was in the street, and the kitten had Giardia, which is an intestinal disease, which is pretty easy to treat, but left untreated will cause dehydration and ultimately death. The kitten had an upper respiratory infection, which also can cause death. Feral cats get in fights, especially because they're not spayed and neutered, and when they get in fights, they get abscess from wounds really easily. That can kill them. And then, you know, rabies is, there are raccoons on our street now that I see going in and out of Mr. Staley's buffet. So, you know, it could be something else, but those are the things that I know of, and the cats have also had worms on the street.
Well, I'm just, you know, 4 cats out of 25,
right.
You know, as I recall, that's 16%.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's a fairly significant...
And that's my guess, because they all look alike. I don't know if there are 5 black ones or 9. You know,
yeah,
I don't know.
Right.
So, but the idea is basically, once the colony is being managed, the population will dwindle over time. If you're taking out the kittens that are mm-hmm. that are being born, the population will dwindle over time. Just.
And if they're spay and neutered, then
right.
the population will, of course, decline over a period of time.
Right.
And those of us that have 1 or 5 cats or whatever will mm-hmm. maintain those cats, but
right.
not having to put up with the feral population.
Right. And you can tell by the ear notching, as Britt said, that they've been spayed, neutered, vaccinated. So, you know, right. see.
And as I indicated, microchips, so we know that
right.
if in fact they belong to, you know, that's, you know, that's a nobody feral cat, or this is a feral cat that I have adopted to run around my yard and eat birds or whatever.
Right.
Okay. Anything else, Ms.
No,
Galligan?
No, thank you.
Any questions of Ms. Galligan while she's up there?
If we trap cats, that would be on somebody else's property, correct?
You would, or the city, city could trap them on their own property.
On public.
But if you wanted a cat trapped on your property, then you trap it.
Yeah, you trap it, or you can give permission to the colony caregiver to trap it as well.
In essence, you would be enticing that cat with food, is what, reinforcing what the gentleman said.
Well, sure. Yeah. I mean, obviously the cat's there, or you wouldn't need to trap it to begin with. But in order to trap it, you would use food. Or maybe talk to it real sweet, I don't know. But I think the food works better. Marie? I'm sorry. She signed up. Let me... yes, sir, I'll get to you. You betcha. Hi.
Hello.
Would you give your last name, because I didn't give it?
It's a wild one. My name is Maria. My last name is Urs Palmer. I am a homeowner on Brophy and a part-time resident here in the city of Bisbee. I am also a public health professional. I'm a registered nurse and a nurse practitioner. And I come to you today because I don't really care why the problem is, but I do care that it's taken care of. Because from even a human health perspective, a feral cat colony is detrimental to human health. Human health. Not just the health of my dogs, which come when I come to visit, or my friends who have been unfortunately offended by the smell of ammonia, or cat feces on my porch, or cat feces in my yard. Those things are not just offensive, they're a health concern for people. Diseases like CMV are transmittable to humans. For example, I have three lovely reproductive age daughters. I wouldn't want them to come and sit on my porch, put their hand on the cushion, and then maybe pick up something to drink, and then find themselves in a detrimental situation if they should be, for example, pregnant. So I'm really concerned about the level of cat population in my personal neighborhood, but also throughout Bisbee, because not only is it detrimental, like I said, to other animals, but it's detrimental to us as humans. And when I come home from being gone for 6 weeks and I can smell cat urine in my home where I do not have cats, cats are spraying my doors, they're spraying my air conditioner vent. Like I said, they're defecating on the cushions on my porch. I know that the level is too much in my neighborhood. So I don't care if it is because we are trapping that there's too many cats.
And Mr. Staley, I'm going to tell you.
But Mr.
We're not gonna have a conversation.
Okay. What I'm saying is that the level is too high, and we have to do something. And if that something is trapping to get those cats in and spayed and neutered and vaccinated, so the feral cat population decreases over time, which research has shown. And research has also shown that feral cats are detrimental to human health. And that is evidence-based research. So is evidence-based research about how bringing these animals in, well, I won't say trapping, but bringing these animals in and then spaying them and neutering them and vaccinating them decreases the problem, and then therefore decreases the impact on human health. Human health. And that's all I have to say today. And if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them from a public health perspective.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it. Any questions?
Just for clarification for me, if I put a trap in my yard and bait it, of course, and a feral cat comes in my yard, then I'm perfectly fine. I can bring that cat, and that cat will be taken care of.
Right.
That's the concept of the Colony Caregiver Program. But yes, you can do it yourself. You don't have to rely on the colony caregiver to do the trapping. On your property, you can trap as you will and have the same effects as to the Colony Caregiver Program, which you take to the animal shelter, get spayed and neutered, and rabies shots, and notched and microchipped and released. So, yeah.
But you can do that today.
You can, yeah.
You can do that anytime.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
With the current law the way it is.
Yes.
The Colony a care person has the authority to trap cats more widely?
Well, they, let me, here's, they can, the idea is to give someone responsibility for doing it, not only the trapping part, but also the making sure they're humanely cared for when they're put back in, into the colony. But, for example, if someone in the audience here volunteered to be the colony caregiver on Brophy, that doesn't mean they're the only person that would be trapping cats. But if you were if you were one of the neighbors and you were uncomfortable with doing the trapping, or if, like the person who just spoke, she's out of town and really can't be there to do the trapping, she can say to that colony caregiver, hey, you can come on my property anytime and put a trap. Just make sure you're checking it frequently and taking it to the animal shelter when you're done. So it's not a question of authority so much as just giving somebody that's willing to take on that responsibility.
I'm going to tell you one more time. You will have an opportunity, but I'm going to ask you not to disrupt this meeting. That's the third. That's your third warning. You will.
Mayor, in response to that input from the last person, we're also talking about a health issue as well as control of cat population, and certainly that came up in the Ward 1 town hall, and certainly I believe the city manager indicated he would be speaking with the health department at the county, but certainly that is another issue that we haven't actually addressed so far. We're talking about controlling the population, but there is an immediate, appears to be an immediate health issue that may merit action.
Which is, I totally agree, but that is a separate issue other than the change in animal control laws and statutes that we're speaking of, but you're absolutely right. I mean, that doesn't take the place of the changes that takes, helps the immediate situation having to do with the health part of it. But it doesn't change the potential statutes as far as requiring spay and neutering, requiring chipping, and requiring rabies shot. But you're absolutely right. And that is being pursued. In the back, sir, would you, I don't, And if you would give your name when you get up there.
Hi, my name is Gregory McQuaid. I am the Public Health Emergency Preparedness Coordinator for Cochise County. It is my job to track rabies and to track the health of our citizenry and to respond when there are health concerns and health emergencies. I will tell you right now, rabies is of serious concern in Cochise County. What we have going on in Cochise County right now is that your rabies sits primarily in three what we call reservoir species, bats, skunks, and foxes. They have their own variant of rabies. It's moving beyond those species. It is moving to coyotes. It is moving to bobcats. We have tested positive animals in every portion of this county this year. There is 9 positive animals already this year. That's without our summer skunks, which is when we see the flourishing of rabies in the skunk population. Rabies needs to be on everybody's radar. Trapping cats, spaying, neutering, administering a rabies is one of the most effective programs. With the sheer number of colonies and the sheer number of cats that you do have, trapping and euthanizing, I know it's not popular. It is not as effective as spaying and neutering. It's harder to trap that many cats. Spaying and neutering, you're reducing the ability of them to continue to populate. You need to get that under control. you had a positive rabies fox in the same canyon. All right? That means that that fox very well could have already come in contact with any of those cats. Fox are out hunting. So are cats. Cats are social creatures by their very nature. They are going to come around your home, especially when people are feeding them or leaving food sources out for them. You are going to compound the issue if you don't get that portion under control as well. If a cat, feral cat, being a social creature, comes around, you are exposing your other domestic animals, your cats, your dogs, to the possibility of being infected with rabies. We're beginning to see those things. In the 9 rabies cases, we've had 5 human and 5 domestic animal exposures as well. There are dogs on 45-day quarantines receiving rabies boosters. We have had 4 humans have to get the post-exposure prophylaxis. It is a 5-series, well, can be 5-series, typically 4. Depends on the individual, they may need a 5th shot. It is a horribly painful series. I will tell you that outright. You don't want people to have to go through that. You don't want your domestic animals to be quarantined for 45 days and getting additional rabies boosters because of something that is preventable. Understand, rabies is 100% preventable in domestic animals and in humans. It's a vaccine. Okay? If you have any questions for me on rabies and rabies state in Cochise County, I am more than happy to answer whatever you got.
I certainly appreciate you coming here and providing your expertise. So thank you. Anybody have questions?
I'm happy to.
Right now. And we now know how to get hold of you.
Yes. Actually, there's a 1-800 number for the health department that rings to my cell phone. Okay? After hours, if you can't get a hold of anybody, it's coming to me.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Great.
No questions?
Apparently not.
Thank you.
Dwayne Wallace, Tombstone Canyon. I just wanted to talk about our experience with trapping, spaying, and neutering cats. When I moved into my house with my wife about 10 years ago, there was a colony in our area because of the abundance of abandoned houses on Star Avenue. I think we counted 3 or 4 different litters of kittens. At one time, there was probably 20 cats of varying ages in our neighborhood. Before, there were the Friends of the Animal Shelter, and before anyone actually told me that there were people who would help pay for this, my wife and I paid for every spay and neuter for at least 20, 25 cats, rabies vaccinations. We even had one that we had surgery on because it encountered an owl, and we also paid to have a cat's leg amputated because my wife thought it was cute. These are all things we're willing to do. I can attest that by doing those things, we have got a population from 20 cats down to 4 over 10 years. And this is by taking care of them. If they were sick, we brought them in, and after a while, they would die off. However, there were no new kittens until yesterday morning. We actually sat, there was a cat, a small black and white kitten. I haven't seen any other cats around other than ours in our, what we call them ours. So I don't know where it came from. If it's in within the 5 miles, possibly. So, and what we'll do, if we could trap that one, we will do the same thing because it is a public health issue. All of our animals are adoptions, every single one of them. Over the years, the cats that we had in our neighborhood would attack our dogs. They would spray everything. Unfixed males will spray everything. And, you know, I learned early on before I even worked where I do now that pool chlorine will disinfect just about everything. And that's what we had to do to our yard. We did that. We got rid of parvo that way. We had to do all those things in our yard. Now, the parvo, of course, wasn't for the cats. So I know, you know, I know there's studies that prove the fact as well. Trapping, spay and neuter feral cats will reduce the population. So from 20 cats, 25 cats, I don't know, over down to, I think, 3 or 4. In fact, one of those cats ended up in Bakersville, where there's another colony, but that one won't procreate because, she was spayed. So cats will travel to other colonies. However, that protects and keeps the population down. So even if they do travel, they're not going to procreate anymore. And there is. I've been seeing it on Facebook. I've been reading it in the paper. There's a serious, serious rabies problem right now. As funny as my part of the brain wants to think a fox chasing somebody down the gulch, it's a neat sight. It's a very dangerous thing. I'm at work very early in the morning in places that there aren't a whole lot of other people. And I have seen bobcats. I have seen these. And if we can keep these vector species, and that's what's going to happen with the cats. All it's going to take is a few in a colony to get exposed to rabies, and then we have a much, much bigger problem, because a cat can be mean without rabies. That's all I have.
Thank you, sir. Yes, sir.
My name is Dick Hannigan. I'm no expert on it. I know it's an emotional issue, but I thought I'd bring up the possibility of unintended consequences, and that is rodent population. Do the feral cats keep the rodent population down? And is that the reason I don't see any rats or mice in my area? I live in Don Louis, a little funky little area up the road. And we have onesie, twosie feral cats come out from the desert. And I'm wondering if that's the reason that we're not bothered by rodents. I just bring that up as a FYI. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Staley, do you have something different than what you were discussing before, sir? Well, come on up here before we... You need to talk up there because of the microphone. This is recorded.
I just wanted to say that I do agree with spaying and neutering. But I don't agree with, and I'm willing to take on that responsibility. I'm retired. I'm familiar with my neighborhood. And I'd be more than willing to take on that responsibility. I would be accountable, which is something that's not happening now. What upsets me is the clandestine management of these cats. No records, not knowing what happens to these cats. Are they being dumped somewhere? Are they being poisoned? All of that would be resolved if I would have the responsibility to start the process, if you think that's what should be done, of being the caregiver. That would make my retirement loads better. My retirement has been ruined over the last 3 years. And I would be willing to take on that responsibility because otherwise, simply put, I don't think you could trust anybody except me to do that job.
Yeah. Well, now I'm confused because a few minutes ago, you said you were against trapping.
Well, I am against trapping, but if it doesn't look like I'm going to change anybody's mind. So if it comes down to that, I want to be responsible for that.
I see.
But it's true, in my mind, baiting brings rabid animals to your area, period. Yeah,
we've gone through that.
But I'm willing to deal with that.
Okay, we'll be in contact because the point is that person would be responsible for trapping and bringing those cats in.
And sir, you don't realize the situation that's going on now with the clandestine trapping. The blacked out windows, the midnight runs, it's all there. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Are we pretty much finished in the audience here? Sir, yes?
I'm sorry, I had to come all the way back up.
Don't be sorry. We're recorded, so you know how that is.
I do. If anybody would like information on rabies, I did bring rabies brochures. These are actually produced by us here in the county. They are specific to Cochise County and the conditions we are in. These are reports that are compiled together from the Arizona Department of Health Services and USDA in conjunction on their rabies testing program and what the numbers look like, and the maps of where the rabies cases have occurred. These are copies available to any of you. This is all open information on the Arizona Department of Health Services website. They have an A to Z index. Go to R, you'll see rabies. All of this information is there, so you all will know the status of what's going on.
Thank you. Would you mind providing those to the clerk?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Again, thank you for coming to this meeting and providing your expertise. All right, a couple things seem to be pretty clear. We need to bring our statutes into compliance with the state statutes. I mean, that is a given. And we need to address the feral cat population situation, which we've heard about. Many of us have received many, many, many phone calls and emails about this issue. And again, it's not just a Ward 1 issue. It's in every ward. And so our suggestion is that we take a look at this cat colony caregiver program. And I would like to direct staff to, in a short period of time, this is a hot issue, in a short period of time, get back to the council with, and the work may be done right now. I mean, that's...
Yeah, when is the next council meeting?
The next council meeting is 2 weeks from today.
Okay, yeah, I can have a draft done by then.
All right. And that will include the spay neutering and rabies and microchip.
Yes, it'll be both a revision, a broad revision of the animal code, including those provisions, and a feral cat colony
caregiver. All right, excellent. Program. And then based on that, we can talk to volunteers that would like to be volunteers.
Sure.
Whether that's Mr. Staley or others, or hopefully if we've got 12 colonies, hopefully we have 12 volunteers that will be able to jump in there, and Ms. Galligan believes that that's the case. So we would really like, I'll be quite blunt, I'd really like this.
And it would be great if our old new reporter was to include a call out for that in her article. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm somehow not going to call her the old new reporter. It doesn't sound...
I didn't mean that kind of old. I mean former new
former,
reporter.
Yes. Former reporter. Oh, I get it. The reactivated reporter.
Sounds even worse.
So, and welcome back, Ms. So, and then based on that, we can talk about volunteers and so forth. So we need Mr. Staley to keep in touch. We need others to keep in touch so that we can put this program, once we have it, get it going. And what I was going to say, I really, of these 12 colonies, the one that gives us the most problems, as far as everything I know, is quite bluntly the Brophy, I call it the Brophy Avenue problem. And so if Mr. Staley can cure that, then I certainly would welcome that, and we'll go from there. So thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
And thank you all. And do we have anything, Mr. Hanson?
Yeah, I just had one other question, or one clarification maybe from Ms. Galligan. If somebody trapped a cat on their property or with permission now on somebody else's property now and took it down to the animal shelter, do you currently have the ability to do the spaying and neutering and chipping and the notching? Okay. I wanted to make that clarification to make sure that people didn't feel like they had to wait until we have a formal ordinance to start dealing with the problem.
Mr. Staley, do you have a question?
Yes, I'm wondering about the cost of the spaying and the neutering. I'm wondering
It's, well, you hope that you get enough money in to take care of it. And the friends of the animal shelter, some of it's being run with grants, of which they have very... they have very strict reporting, the grantors. Well, when did you ask for it? When did you ask for that? Today?
Yes.
For the last 2 years?
Yes.
Today?
Yes.
Well, sir, you will get that, but you will not get it today. That's what I was explaining before. These types of things... Okay, then you will get it. Okay, I'm not going to discuss that any further at this point. We're past that. And maybe the newspaper will provide that information that spay and neutering is taking place and is available, and that Friends of the Animal Shelter will, in fact, do that. Rabies shots, microchip, the whole works, that presently that is being done. Okay. All right. Ma'am?
I'm just curious, how do you propose to have other people volunteer? Like, are you going to advertise, or how's that going to work? How are you going to secure other volunteers?
We are. Friends of the Animal Shelter will be doing advertising. This will be advertised when it's written up, when this ordinance is passed.
Okay.
Then that will be written up in the paper, I'm sure. That both papers, and we'll make sure that that's put out.
Sir, can I say one more thing?
If it's pertinent, yes.
I think there should be, the volunteer should be capable to have the time to do this. It's a full-time job. It's not something you do 1 hour.
Yeah, well, that's why we will be looking at volunteers. Just because someone volunteers doesn't mean that they're going to be the person. We're going to have to make sure that they have the capability. Sure. Okay, thank you. Ms. Callaghan. Great. Understood. Great. Great. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you. I hope everybody feels that they had an opportunity to discuss it and that we're actually moving forward to a solution. So thank you very much. Do I have a motion?
I move to adjourn.
I second.
We have a motion. We have a second. Those in favor of adjournment signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. We stand adjourned.